oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
That's right. It is In This League. It is hour two. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. Find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. You can find Scott on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And of course, you can check us out at patreon.com/ITL Army. That is where all the stuff lives. I thought we would talk in this hour just a little bit. I don't want to give it all away, of course, but PitchCon coming up next week, pitcher list becoming a huge entity in the sports and baseball world. Yeah, well, let's just say we're going to talk about something I took place. We're both doing a conference thing, and I did a thing with PitchCon. We'll talk about that. Okay, but you have a PitchCon story.
Yes, I do, because you remember we got the email or the DM about PitchCon, right? What did it expressly say in that DM, Welsh?
I don't know, like fill it out.
Well, we got that. Okay. Obviously, you may not have, you may not be able to make fun of me, make fun of Joe with me here. But it said in that DM, do not say anything publicly about this. We have not announced it yet. And like, I'm telling you, 30 minutes after we got that, I was on with Joe and he was like, yeah, we're going to be doing PitchCon pretty soon here. all that stuff. I'm like, Joe. And he was like, what? And I was like, in the DM, it says, don't say anything about PitchCon because they haven't announced it yet. And he's like, did it really? And I'm like, yeah, you got to read that. And he was like, I just scan through things. I don't read everything that people DM me. And then he's looking through. He's like, yep, you're right. It said nothing about that.
Was that when it first came out?
Yeah. It was I think maybe our last Black Book show that we did on Brawl before Joe left to Fantasy Pros. So,
okay.
It was when you were out. I was doing that show alone with Joe, and I was like, come on, man. They just said, don't say anything about this. And he was like, yeah, we'll be doing PitchCon. It's a great time. Bogman and I love doing that. It was fun last year.
I mean, like, I'm kind of doing it right now, but I literally just did something. As you're listening to this, I bet they've announced it. I think it's going to be Friday, so they probably just announced it. As we're recording this, they haven't like officially gone through all the stuff, but they've got all the assignments. It's going to happen next week. I'm giving them a little bit of pub. But I took part in something I'm going to give a little bit of push for, not giving away all the details. I thought it was a really unique perspective and a unique thing. Some funny stuff happened out of it. So we'll talk about that. More baseball, maybe a little bit of basketball.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Well, don't go anywhere in this league. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out.
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
In This League at patreon.com/ITLArmy. Whether you love this show, whether you love the baseball show, you're into prospects, you're into football, or you just like some of the comedy, maybe you're looking for people with like-mindedness to yourself of how they treat fantasy, where we have so much fun. You like to laugh, you like to be entertained. That is literally what we're all about. You can get ranks, group me rooms, secret shows, live streams, and direct access to Bogman and I. You can ask questions. We answer them all the time, pretty quick too. So check us out, patreon.com/ITLArmy, and you are directly supporting us, little old independent podcasters, and we appreciate everybody that's done it. Literally, you guys have you created the mascot series that's going to be happening starting sometime next month because of all of your patronage on our Patreon. So keep doing it, and Bogman will let you sleep at his house. That's what he said. If we get to 600 followers on Patreon, Bogman will let you sleep at his house in the month of March. You just have to come down.
I mean, that's a bold-faced lie, and that'll never happen. No one will be allowed in my house. In fact, Welsh, if you came to my apartment right now, you'd be waiting outside.
Why?
Because my place is gross, and I don't want anyone in it until I clean it. So
you're doing the you're back in the gross thing again.
Well, we've been here for a while. So
if they came and cleaned it?
I cleaned it up a little bit last week.
Us, and then you can go to Bogman's house and clean his house. That is what we'll do for
how
you.
How I live before, you know, when there's no one around me at all. So even if they offer to clean it, I don't think I would accept it.
It's a great point, actually, you just said, because like we're very open. I think we're more open than 90% of kind of the community. You know, a lot of people, and to be fair, most don't need to be, but there's a lot of podcasters out there and writers. And I think as people follow, they just get interested. We just talk and we talk about everything. We do secret shows so people know a lot more about our life. There has to be some mystery. They can't know all the things. Like, we're not going to be like Cribs and like, let's walk through the house and stuff. Like you got to keep a little bit of a, let the mystery linger. Wasn't that The Leftovers?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just let, there's got to be a little bit of mystery here. A little bit of Doctor Strange here. Doctor Strange Gordon here. So, you know, we have to keep just a touch of mystery. So,
but
when I clean it gets pretty clean. I can clean. I've done it before. I just hate it. I hate cleaning so much. And, you know, I'm one person here. So I have to do all my cooking and cleaning. I have to do all my own laundry. You know what I mean? There's no give and take. It's just give and take by myself. That is one of the big downsides of living alone, is you have to do all the errands and all the cleaning and all the cooking and all that stuff. It's not fun. So,
but if we get to 600, you can come live with Bogman in the month of March.
One can do that. You can, if you show up at my house, I do own guns. So
no, you don't. You know, you have the pink gun. You do have the pink gun.
No, I have a couple other ones too.
What?
So, yeah.
Give me a gun.
I'm in Arizona, dude.
Let me have a gun.
Shoot some stuff. Yeah, people out here, they're like, what's going on here? Yeah, no, I buy that. I like that. I like the idea of lock, stocked, and barreled Bogman. That's a great image of hey there, you filthy animal. All right. So let's do what I guess Joe did and ruin a little bit. PitchCon coming up next week. I didn't even plan to give them this type of pub, but they did something really interesting. And I think it's worthy of talking about, and it's definitely worthy of stealing too. Let's steal this, Bogman. They did this thing and I had never heard of called a blind draft. And this is a nice little pub for them. And one of their guys, Miles, is going to be doing this presentation. It's a lot of presentations and guys from all around the industry are going to be doing separate. Shows. Like I'm going to do a panel.
Separate presentations.
Presentations. Like for whatever reason, didn't know the word presentation. That was gone. I had no idea how to say it.
I'll shoot it out of you. It's fine.
I had no idea how to say it. If you had a gun to my head, one of your million guns apparently you have, I couldn't have said presentation. There'll be guys, one or two, doing presentations. There's going to be panels. They're going to do lots of different fun stuff. And one of them, I was very honored, by the way, to take part in this in this draft room, this blind draft with a bunch of really great prospect analysts and stuff. I just realized as I'm talking, you know what I'm realizing?
You forget words? Is that happening?
I'm kind of doing what Joe did. I'm not sure if I should be saying the people that were in it because it's supposed to be a mystery to the other people that done it. So I'm not going to say
this airs. All this stuff's going to be announced.
Luckily nobody listens to this and listens to us. They're going to announce the blind draft, but I'm not sure if they're going to say all the people that were involved until then. So did I say who the people were involved before? I might have to mute it.
I might have to
bleep those. So it's a blind draft. And now they know that I'm in it, except nobody share this. This is just between us. There's this blind draft. The concept of it. I can't believe I'm ruining this. It just totally hit me. But the idea is
this blind draft not airing until PitchCon? Is that what's
until
happening?
PitchCon? Yeah, until PitchCon.
Oh, okay. So you've already done your presentation for them then?
No, it's not a presentation. It was just a draft.
Okay, so you're still on a different board for PitchCon.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm doing a panel for PitchCon. Okay. So I just want to explain the idea behind this, and it's a really cool idea, and it's something we would totally do. But I want to give you a couple of my other ideas. The idea is, there are two sets of drafters as a team. There are industry people, and then there are, you know, readers of their website. But they don't know, no one knows who's teamed together. There's no idea who's teamed together. Also, you're in separate rooms. So all of the industry guys, we were all in a Zoom room, and then the other guys are in a Zoom room. They had the even rounds. We had the odd rounds. So I don't know what they're going to draft. So whatever pick I had, The mystery person, they take the first pick.
Okay, so you're partnered up with someone.
Yeah,
that's what
I take the next pick, and then they take the third, and like that. And it was a wild experience, and it was a best ball format, and it was a wild experience of trying to draft a team when you have no idea what's going on. And I was telling them,
the completed process and know what your team is. And did you like it? I guess is my first question.
I'll probably answer that next week. And now that I'm ruining everything, we did 24 picks. Then the other person finished the draft out. That's how it ended up going. So I know what the first 24 picks are because I took 12 of those picks and this person took the other 12. And, but I was telling them, I was like, you got to drink. We should be drinking in this. And then I had this idea. This is an even better one. I was like, here's my idea. Mystery Science Theater 3000 drafts, where you let listeners or readers draft, and then two or three analysts are there just roasting while the draft is going on. They're drinking and they're talking about what's happening in this draft the whole time. I say we do that. Can we do Mystery Science Theater Draft 1000?
I just went from 6 to midnight. I mean, this
are
is
you into those?
Yes, of course. Well, and then, what we should do.
Check this out. We'll be like the little seats at the bottom, like in Mystery Science Theater 3000, yes. And then the draft board will be the screen.
That, I mean, it's too good. It's too good.
Well, so, I'm claiming that idea right now. I made up that idea. I made up that idea. That's ours.
It's so good. It's such a good idea. And it's such in our wheelhouse, too.
I know.
I mean, just to go up there and roast, what we should do is it should be Bogman, Welsh, and guest. Yes. That's what we should watch. That we should watch the draft, see what's happening, and then roast these teams as they're happening. Oh my
God. You know what?
Great.
I'm this entire segment is, by the way, me backtracking, realizing what I shouldn't be talking about, and then turning it into this idea. What I mean, what if we ended our mock draft season with that, and then we make that a staple? Exactly, I think that's what we're going to do. That could be a little bit of a Patreon.
The problem is I always set those up. I'm just thinking of the logistical side of it. I always set those up. So what I'm going to have to do is have someone else set it up, so I don't know who is who. I'll know one person in the draft, whoever is making it for us. So, and that person doesn't even have to be in the draft.
No, I was about to say, it could be a complete mystery, and we don't know who the drafters are, and it's revealed after the fact.
Right, exactly. So that would be, it would be awesome to do that, and then we just sit back and roast the picks as they go.
What
are you thinking this guy for? That doesn't help your build at all. What are you doing? You know, things like that.
We call it Mystery Draft Theater 3000.
I'm in. 100%. All right. I'm in. All right. We're doing it.
Are have great ideas, except when I potentially sabotage something that these guys are doing that's so great. But you're not going to hear the names. You don't know all the stuff. I totally wasn't in it, by the way. I just knew about it, so I'm not one of the 12 people that were drafting. We got to go to break. We got more baseball coming up, so don't go anywhere. More in this league. Try not to ruin things.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League. It is Bogman. It's Welsh. It's ITL. You guys know where you can get the merch, Teespring. You can check us out there. But make sure you subscribe to all our podcasts. Go on Google Podcasts. I don't know, but iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Make sure you subscribe to the ITL Fantasy Baseball, Football, Basketball, Prospect One, and the CFF show, ITL's college fantasy. What do you even call the show anymore? ITL, why am I forgetting?
Fantasy football.
Okay, yeah, I was about to like, yeah, because it's ITL CFF, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
That's in the off season right now, obviously. But you can see, if you want to hear me talk college football right now, you can still check out CFP Winning Edge. We're doing that twice a week over there.
Make sure you subscribe to all of those if you want to catch up on all this stuff. And you know, the ITL Baseball Podcast, we've been popping off. We've had some insanely, insanely good episodes just in the past couple of weeks. We have had Paul Spohr, Alex Chamberlain, Nick Pollock, Alex Fast. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And Derek Carty talking about projections. And we just birthed a new thing. I mean, it's literally happened here. We are going to do it. The Mystery Draft Theater 3000 is something that we will try to debut this year. And maybe we'll make it like a premium thing we do in the future. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, Boggs, that could be a premium service we could provide in the future. How much would, like, if someone had a live draft, I mean, it wouldn't be cheap, that they could have of us roasting the draft. They'd probably love it. But this coming week, or just dropped, is we had our most recent mock draft. And then next week, we've got a Joe Pisapia mock draft. We're going to do a points draft with him. But this one we just dropped, a nice long one, 15-team roto on the Yahoo.
I got to say something about our mocks so far. And maybe this is just the uncertainty of, you know, 2021 coming off of the shortened season from 2020 and all that stuff. I have not drafted a team that I'm comfortable with yet.
That's interesting.
You know, we've tried a couple different strategies. You did pocket aces this last time. I was trying to keep with a pitcher and hitter. I wasn't on the end. I was 12 out of 15, but I wanted to make my picks one pitcher, one hitter for the entire draft. I think I did it all the way down to the end of the draft, too. And I didn't like the way my team was put together. Have you found a strategy that you like yet? You disliked your pocket aces one a lot. From this last one, I hated my hitter pitcher one, because I always feel like there's just something missing. Do you think that it is the uncertainty of some of these lineups, and, you know, we still have some decent free agents out on the market, but a lot of positions are going to be won in spring training? Do you think it's more of a, we haven't done a bunch of mocks yet, or do you think it is this weird off season?
No, we have done a million mocks, so it's not that. We've been mocking since October. No, but we've been mocking since October. We have people forget we've created another thing that's very unique to ITL. We created some ADPs. I have what nobody else has, a prospect ADP, 250 prospects over like 8 drafts. But we also created an ITL ADP, not in competition, but to help people, because I think NFBC and all of its glory and stuff is fantastic, but you should have multiple sources. And there hasn't been, at least earlier on, there hadn't been Yahoo, or Infantrax doesn't really work that well, I think. So we created one. We've been drafting since October. So it has not been for lack of drafting. That's not our case whatsoever. I think it's the volatility. I think there's the unknowns. I think a lot of it came with the uncertainty of teams and where players were signing, and we've kind of got that now. So that's changed. But I think it has to just do with the uncertainty of what guys did last year to how comfortable we are this year. Everything that you had happen last year, we can go and look at and be like, well, that's not going to work. You know, that's not going to pan out. That didn't carry over. So I think a lot of that has to do with it. As far as a strategy, I think the one I liked the most was my late pitching. I think I was the most happy when I really built up my hitting in the first 5 or 6 rounds, and then I tackled pitching, because the pitchers you can get, they're not aces. You're not getting your Shane Biebers and stuff, but you know what happens more often than not? You get a Bieber, and then you wait a while, and then you get another pitcher a little bit later. And is that pitcher that much different than the number two you get if you wait? It's not. So I actually like stacking hitting in the first 6 rounds, 5 or 6. And then I think I'd like tackling my pitching a little bit after. And those are the teams I like the most.
You've already kind of waded into the point I was trying to make here too. And this, the point I want to make is that I feel like, because we've been putting emphasis, and it's not just us, it's everyone in the industry, I feel like, or most people in the industry, we have put emphasis on taking pitching higher because of the weirdness of the 2020 season. You know, pitching is volatile in a normal year. It is ups and downs and lefts and rights and injuries and all that stuff. So we know that. It's way harder to peg down than hitting is. But I feel like because you just said, I like my late pitching strategy, and that is the strategy that you would use most seasons, right? In non-pandemic weird years, most of the industry tend to wait on pitching because it is so volatile. So if you draft your team like that, with you're waiting on pitching and you're taking the hitting first, non-points league, of course, but that was the strategy that you said, this is the best I feel about any of these teams. Should we not be making out the big stuff about that big, you know, gap of the middle of pitching and it being weird and having ranks churn in and churn out and all over the place? And, you know, I like to poke holes in everyone. It feels like right now the whole industry is poking holes in most of these pitchers right now. So, you know, in particular, Framber Valdez, I think, is the one that's getting hit the hardest when you look at his MLB Savant page and stuff like that. But it is a lot of those mid-tier pitchers are sinking like a stone right now. Do you think you should maybe waltz into your draft and go, look, I'm going to treat this as a normal year. I'm not going to take the higher pitching because I'm unsure on the middle. I'm going to drop and pick up a lot of those guys. Some of them are going to be hurt anyway. It's going to be just like it always is with pitching. So I should stick to my guns of what I would do in a regular year and take mainly hitting and fill in my pitching later and kind of take a risk on it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the case. I mean, that's why you go through the experimenting. And that's the goofy part, is the only reason that you don't feel confident about it is because of 2021. You don't feel the uncertainty. You know, Valdez comes up, Corbin goes down, and, you know, which one do you buy into? I still think the pitching gets deep. When you get in post 100, guys like Sandy Alcantara, Pablo Lopez, they're still out there. Patrick Corbin is still out there if you want to make that bet again. There are guys, Kevin Gausman, Marco Gonzalez, there are guys that can eat innings. I think, can you miss some of the sexiness of pitchers? Yes, but I'm not sure I'm going to look for sexy this year as much as I've thought before. Will I take a Luis Castillo?
Settle down with a nice working pitcher.
Nice working class pitcher. That's
right. right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, one that I would be happy to bring home to mom. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't need a party pitcher. I need like a good, you know. So I think with all of that, like you can make do. Like I think your relievers, you can make up some of those strikeouts. But it's going to be tough in general for innings and wins across the board that I think there are a ton of pitchers later, like the Gossmans, like the Marco Gonzalez, maybe the Chris Bassetts, that you could just sneak into wins. So I think, you know, we're trying out stuff. I tried out Pocket Aces in the last one. If you want to go back and listen, didn't particularly like it. You kind of had this pitcher, hitter. I think when it comes, push comes to shove, I am going to try to dominate hitting early. I'm going to try to get my stolen bases. I'm going to try at best I can to have high batting average guys and massive homers. And then I'll build around the back end. I'd prefer. Now, here's one thing I think people can get lost with. I don't want to just ignore, because some people like to also ignore speed. If I'm going to do that with pitching, I don't want to do that with speed too, because then if you go all these hitters, these big, you know, oh, I got JD Martinez right. and Freddie Freeman, then at the same time, when you're trying to catch up with pitching, you're trying to catch up with speed. And you probably want to walk into round six not worried about both of those. Just worry about your pitching. Go a couple relievers. Go a couple starting pitchers. I'm pretty sure that's how I'm going to go. And it's taken 4 months of us drafting. 4 or 5 months. That's how much prep time is needed off of this quarantine season for me to really feel comfortable in how I enjoy drafting and what I think are the best teams.
And the only thing that I've seen that is black and white, just like you have to be in or out on, is relief pitching right now, because we've had it, especially in a, you know, a 15 man league, we've had it a couple times where, you know, you don't get in on the first 5 or 6 guys and you go, well, these other relievers in the middle are too expensive. I'm not going to waste picks here. And then when you get down to the end, there's just huge question marks. Now, obviously, it's going to get better as the offseason rolls on, as more relievers sign on teams and we get spring training news coming in, who looks good, who looks doesn't, obviously, but that happens every year. So as it stands right now, and I think it's probably, you know, a lot like just overall relief pitching anyway, it seems like you are either in or you are out on relief pitching. And if we had to pick a strategy here, I would say I'm probably in, and I'd say you're probably out. Would you say... That's yes, or
for relief for closers. I'm going to be late closers. In an ideal strategy, as I had said in the black book, I get one that's a top 10, one that's inside 10 to 20, and then two that are outside the top 20. I think that's altering, especially with how high some of the relievers are going to start going. That I might be getting more like one as a top 15, one inside that 15 to 25, and then two later ones. That doesn't mean a bad thing, though. There are some deals out there. Trevor Rosenthal might be a massive deal if he signs to San Diego, because he hasn't at this moment.
Right.
That could be a deal. People forget about Soria.
Pomeran's questionable, too, because he's the closer as it stands right now. Yeah. If they sign Rosenthal, they might just give that job right back to him.
But there's a couple guys, Soria with the Diamondbacks, people forget about. Leclerc, everyone forgets about right now. Those are just a couple. I'm going to be more prone to get those cheap guys. Even Archie Bradley. I think Archie Bradley is going to get the saves in Philly. I would rather go on that cheap end, because guess what? I can get my hitting early. I can then fill in my pitching with a lot of guys, plenty of guys that you can get in round 7 and 8 that have got top 20 SP upside. And then I can build around some of my relievers much, much later. Don't go anywhere. We come back more in this league with Bogman and the Welsh. Right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my
in this league.
It is in this league. It is Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh on Twitter at Chris Welsh at Bogman Sports. Follow us there in all of our tweeting glory of retweeting episodes and then occasional fun. Or get me my Keanu gift, the one from that TV show. You know, the show, the Netflix show.
The Keanu show?
Yeah, the gif of him doing the kiss.
That was in the You'll Always Be My Maybe, the one with Ali Wong.
Yeah, I couldn't think of her name. It's the Ali Wong show. That's exactly right, where she comes in and she's like, I'm dating Keanu Reeves. And
that was pretty funny. Did you
watch I haven't even seen it. It's just a gif.
It's a dumb romantic comedy, but like Keanu was hilarious in it. And you know,
Keanu's
I'm not
great in everything.
But he was amazing in it. It was really funny.
He is great in everything. So interesting thing that you brought up, and I kind of talked about this on baseball. I just want to see if there's any. Let me take the different change of a take than I had before. I mentioned this on the on TV a little bit earlier this week, but because Joe needs this rant, and this sparked in me. But we talked about, because we've been drafting our last couple mocks on Yahoo's position eligibility. And it got me thinking about how, you know, we all are talking about ranks and players and draft strategy, and everyone's writing guides and stuff like that. And maybe I'm overblowing a little bit, but I feel like in my mind, Yahoo's stance of not changing any eligibility from last year and keeping the 2019 position eligibility, it's a move that really screws things up. And I hate it because, like, you know, we've now have some friends over at Yahoo, and we've talked with Andy Behrens a lot, and I like to pick on, but it's a move that frustrates me because as we talk about this stuff, it's the type of move that has pretty, pretty large ability to change the value of players. And when we're talking about trying to like give people advice and stuff like that, there's no uniformity. There is nothing that is there. There's no overseer of the fantasy world that just says, hey, you know what? This is the position eligibility. I know it's always been the case like that, but more so than ever, there's like stuff that's not even remotely. There's no site that will have Vladimir Guerrero as a third baseman. There's going to be no site that's going to have Manny Machado as a shortstop. I guess in best ball format, you probably have Framil Reyes as an outfielder, but not having a uniformed way to talk about the position players play is rough because we sit on here and we're like, oh, this position is, you know, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden it's stacked third base, shortstop, even bigger with Machado and Bregman, outfield. So many guys qualified at outfield in the last draft. I didn't know what to do with myself. And the COVID season, everything has really kind of screwed that up. And Yahoo's kind of screwing that up. They got two players as Ohtani still year three, everybody, not just jokingly like, hey, Rizzo is, you know, moved over a little bit and shifted to second base, and they give him second base eligibility. They're giving guys eligibility that no other place will come remotely close to because they're just not changing. And I just think it hurts us in being able to give all the best advice out there, because most of the things we say, I just don't think they can fully qualify at Yahoo.
I feel like, you know, Thursday when you're ranting about this, 60 seconds just wasn't enough time for you. This was a great, great rant you just had on this. And I can't agree anymore with what you just said. And I feel like it's rooted in money for Yahoo. It's not wanting to spend money on, you know, the programming that it would take to change Shohei Ohtani. Like he's the only guy in baseball history that's going to end up doing this. You know, they're doing this more and more with players in the minor leagues, letting them hit and pitch.
They're going to have to deal with Brendan McKay here really soon.
Yeah, it almost never works. So they do have that going for them. But how frustrating is it going to be in 10 years, 15 years when you have 5, 6, 7, 8 players in this range, you know, that have to have a pitcher and a hitter, a pitcher and a hitter, and every other place is doing it differently, right? And it's what you said about the positions too. You know, this is what I was frustrated with Yahoo for college fantasy football, because if Yahoo made college fantasy football, if they put a little more time in it, it would become such a huge game. It would become enormous because people now have access to it. I love Fantrax, but you know, there are people that just think it's clunky. They don't want to use it. They don't want to mess with it. They refuse to do it. And it's the only platform that is good for college fantasy football right now. I love playing it. I feel like it's the last sport where you can actually have real sleepers is college fantasy football, because there's 130 teams. But, you know, when Yahoo decided to go in, their list was terrible. They only had Power 5 teams. They didn't have G5 teams at all. So I felt like they half-assed it. And it feels like that's what they're doing in 2021 with their position eligibility. Instead of putting in the time to just lower the restrictions and say, hey, look, a guy had to do them last year. It played seven games. You know what I mean? He had to pitch 15 innings instead of 50 or whatever. You know, all of those little things are all adding up to annoyances with Yahoo. And I, you know, Yahoo has the best mobile app. They have the most users, I feel like, maybe probably even more than ESPN. I'm not sure what the exact numbers are, but they got to be close because most people I know play on Yahoo. But people will flip to because you can't manipulate things on there and it's not very customizable, people will move to CBS and Fantrax and pay for you know, for stuff. If you just put that and made your price cheap on Yahoo, plenty of people would pay to use Yahoo because they love the mobile interface, and you would solve your problem of not wanting to pay programmers to mess with stuff and, you know, go back in and do the legwork. So it feels like to me it's rooted in laziness, and that's what I don't like.
I mean, it is the Otani stuff.
It's all
stuff
fixable things.
Yeah, it is. Everything you said, I 100% agree about the dual positional players and other, you know, I mean, we talked to Andy Behrens about it on our show before. We literally had that conversation and, you know, he admitted and he talked about all this stuff and it's like, okay, you guys say it's money, but like Fantrax can do it. And CBS did it and ESPN, you know, they can do it. So that's that problem. I don't know if it's laziness on the other end of not changing position eligibility.
If Verizon owns Yahoo, like you looked up the other day, and they're telling me they can't fix it, just look at what I've paid in phone bills over the last decade. That would solve your problem. You could fix everything
probably
with what I've paid on my phone bill.
I'm not sure what the story. I mean, they released a statement. I think they even emailed Yahoo did about the position eligibility, and they just said we felt that, you know, not enough sample size and we wanted to not change the stuff. But the problem is that so starkly, and I guess you want contrasting things, but to have stuff so different across the board, Yahoo is so insulated in themselves. When you listen to people that work at Yahoo about fantasy baseball, they have to talk about it from Yahoo's perspective.
Yeah.
And they're not going to caveat it. I mean, to be fair, CBS kind of does that sometimes. I think they've gotten a lot better about that. But when they would kind of talk in their like standard CBS format of like points league and stuff like that. And that's not great for fantasy. And you got to mix it up. And we try to make sure to you know, do points to head to head to roto. But now you have all these formats. Now you have Yahoo. You know, I do all these ranks. People want like, hey, do you have an OBP rank and all this? I don't want to also have a Yahoo rank because of all the positions. Because guess what? It does change them. Franmil comes up. Stanton at outfield goes up. Yeah. Shortstop for Bregman and Machado, it goes up. It's just a wild move, and I just don't know where it is anymore. But like, there'll never be an overseer because everybody wants to do their own things. But you know what? You know what's wild? Look at projections. Projections are all pretty close to each other. Steamer, bat, ATCs, and aggregate. There's just a lot of these that kind of work well in the same general area. How do these sites get so off differently? How do ESPN and Fantrax and CBS and Yahoo, how are they all so different? And Yahoo is so specifically different as well. It's just going to complicate things a little bit and really all it's going to take, I suppose, is like your ability to decipher through information and understand how it changes with Yahoo. But I feel like we have to clarify it a whole bunch. And they're such a great platform. It is just frustrating that this is going on, and because I'm not going to make a Yahoo rank, I like to make little caveats on my ranks of like, hey, this is an OBP guy and this and that. I want to make a whole separate rank across the board. Yahoo. I want to be able to talk about them in one move, and you can't do it.
But we were frustrated, you know, 3 years ago when Otani came over, and it was just him. He was the only one that we were like, well, this is stupid. You know, he is a hitter and a pitcher, and you're making him separate players. You have to draft them both times to get each side. We were frustrated about just that. And now with not changing position eligibilities, you give so many guys different values and you change the whole format of drafting too. Like you had said, Welsh, during our mock on that we posted on Friday, the 15-man roto one that we did, you were like, you know what I'm finding out is pretty much everyone qualifies at outfield. So just wait on your stupid outfield. You know,
yeah.
It's everyone has played, you know, five games there in 2019. So just wait on it. It's just ridiculous.
It's just like analytics, not analytics, responding to a tweet. Actually, that's very funny. Above a tweet. That's why I said that. Projections, like stats can work off of like the same system, you know, and like they can adjust some stuff, but they're all going to work out like, you know, wins are wins, stats are agreed upon. I can't comprehend how position eligibility is not agreed upon. And it's one thing when a site wants to say, hey, it takes this many games and this many games, but then to just like, nah, we're just not going to do it because last year was crazy. What are you talking about? You just completely went out. It does feel like ESPN and Fantrax and CBS are closer in nature. Some of them like to only have one position. They're really stringent about it and stuff like that. I just don't understand why you have a platform that's so different. And this is the year where I felt like you needed to really tread lightly. And I think everybody seemed like they were ready to adjust and just be like, you know what? Because there's only 60 games. We'll go to like 5 or 7 games. And then to come off of that, it's wild. So to be fair, Yahoo might be a place of amazing deals. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating in all of them.
And, you know, we got, while we're recording this, we have our captains are able to jump in here with us from the captain's room. And our boy Enrico here is saying, like, if it would be pretty bad programming if just position eligibility is not something that's easily fixable. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I literally think it's just like, hands up. We're just like, you know, we don't know, like we don't know if we want to take other people's stance of 7 games, cutting it down from their 20. We don't know if we wanted to, we're just going to like keep everything as simple as before. Maybe it was lazy. Maybe it is programming. I'm not sure. And I'm not saying it's that. And I'm not even insinuating that it's
we
that.
Don't know what it is.
But it just, it like, I don't comprehend why everybody, all the sites, the fantasy overseer, they have a big awards thing where they want to give people awards. Why doesn't everybody agree on a standard? Because guess what it would do? It would help everybody in baseball, everybody in fantasy baseball, if qualifications were within 90% across the board, not wildly different. Yahoo is a completely different beast.
And every sport, you have something like this too. Like in football, it's, well, are you playing PPR? Are you playing half? Are you playing standard? You know what I mean? Yeah. And standard is not the standard anymore because people want to play with PPR. Some people want to go half because they think PPR is over the top. That argument is eye rolling as well, but at least you can customize that in Yahoo. You can't customize position eligibility in Yahoo.
So, and hey, listen, so frustrating. Do your projections. Yahoo's projections, wildly different than anything you would find on Fangraphs. Do that. Do your X rank. All those things, cool. Fantrax, they do their score. I don't think it's useful. Plenty of people do. Do all that stuff you want, but don't screw with position eligibility. Or to what you just said, make it universally available to edit that people can change if they'd like so they can go back to the standard. We got to go to break. When we come back, one more final segment here in hour two. Then hour three is coming up, which means Bubba time. Don't go anywhere. In the sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
It is In This League. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. Welcome back. Final segment of hour two, which means I am going to be stepping away. Bubba's going to be coming in the chair. Can't talk about what Bubba just, or what I responded to Bubba's tweet, but he did have a funny comment where he was just like, hey, there's so many podcasts out now that you can't really be the one that says we're the only one talking about this. I did rebuff that, and I was able to make a point which he's not right about, but we're not going to do that for this show. Look at the tweet. But to be fair, Boggs, I am right. I did technically make him wrong about this because I proved we are a podcast that was only talking about this, but it's maybe not quite what he was.
Did you see the gifts like that our guys Chad and Toby sent? Yeah.
Our guys are there. So Bubba's coming up. Maybe you guys can talk about that as well. One rumor, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, and I don't know where it'll be as far as like this show airing, but it's coming back, man. And Andy Martino, a couple of reports saying that James Paxton wants some serious money, but also a report out there that the Mets are back and re-engaged about Chris Bryant.
Hmm. Well, that would really, really ruin John VR if they got Chris Bryant.
Well, I think VR is done. VR is a utility player.
Anyway.
Well, no, he's a utility player.
But as soon as somebody gets hurt for the Mets, he's next man up because he's so versatile. He can play so many positions and all that stuff. But, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know the minor leagues and stuff. So what does a Chris Bryant to the Mets deal look like, do you think?
Oh, the Mets have the Mets absolutely have the pieces. They have got Francisco Alvarez, who is a catcher, which I'm not sure the Cubs would be like dying to kick down the doors to try to get another catcher. But they've got Pete Crow Armstrong. Matthew Allen would probably be on the top list as a guy that would have to come back in a Chris Bryant trade. I think this is going to be tough. It's going to be depending the willingness, which what's interesting is the Mets, they've missed out. They missed out on some stuff. You know, they had some negative press with Steve Cohen lately and all of the Bitcoin stuff. And the GameStop and the AMC stuff. Yeah. And they missed out on they missed out on Bauer. They missed out on Realmuto. If they're willing to let go, this is a trade they can make happen. They have the pieces. I just don't know if the Cubs are going to be willing to do it. So we will monitor that. We'll talk about it more on the ITL Baseball Podcast. Friends, don't go anywhere. I'm out, but hour three, it's Bubba, it's Bogman. It'll be a good time. Be right back.